Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, July 9th. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and we have lots of scripture today. We're in Acts chapter 19, verses 21 through 41. This is about Paul in Ephesus and the goddess Artemis and how the artisans are not happy with Paul and the brothers. And so we'll hear about that. Then we'll turn over to the book of Ephesians. So this is a companion scripture because Ephesus is where all of this is taking place. And this is Paul's letter back to the church in Ephesus and his prayer for them in Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. And then in chapter 6, the great passage about the armor of God. In the passage in Acts, we learn about the Roman government just a little bit and how they're in charge. So this image of a soldier would be in the minds of all of the people in Ephesus. And so Paul uses or flips that imagery to say, I want you to put on the armor that God gives you. All right, beginning with Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 21. The title in my Bible says, A Riot in Ephesus. Now, after these events, Paul resolved in the Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia and go to Jerusalem, saying, After I have been there, I must also see Rome. And having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. About that time, there arose no little disturbance concerning the way. For a man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines of Artemis, brought no little business to the craftsmen. These he gathered together with the workmen in similar trades and said, Men, you know that from this business we have our wealth, and you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but in almost all of Asia, that Paul has persuaded and turned away a great many people. Saying that gods made with hands are not gods. And there is danger not only that this trade of ours may come into disrepute, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis may be counted as nothing, and that she may even be disposed from her magnificence, she whom all Asia and the world worship. When they heard this, they were enraged and were crying out, Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. So the city was filled with confusion, and they rushed together into the theater, dragging with them Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians who were Paul's companions in travel. But when Paul wished to go in among the crowd, the disciples would not let him. And even some of the Asiarchs, who were friends of him, sent to him and were urging him not to venture into the theater. Now some cried out one thing, some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and most of them did not know why they had come together. Some of the crowd prompted Alexander, whom the Jews had put forward, and Alexander, motioning with his hand, wanted to make a defense to the crowd. But when they recognized that he was a Jew, for about 2 hours they all cried out in one voice, Great is Artemis of the Ephesians! And when the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, Men of Ephesus, who is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is temple keeper of the great Artemis, and that the sacred stone that fell from the sky? Seeing then that these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rash. For you have brought these men here who are neither sacrilegious nor blasphemers of our goddess. If, therefore, Demetrius and the craftsmen with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you seek anything further, it shall be settled in the regular assembly. For we really are in danger of being charged with rioting today, since there is no cause that we can give to justify this commotion. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. And now from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. This is a prayer and thanksgiving. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward all us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, the whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together. Wow, that was a lot of scripture. So in Acts, we're still in Ephesus, and the artisans are not happy because they believe that what Paul is teaching will destroy their business. So they start rioting, and they bring in these Christians, and it's just really a raucous scene. And finally, one of the officials comes in and says, "Hey guys, Paul and his people, they haven't done anything against our goddess Artemis, and so we need to quiet down." And then as we read in Ephesians, if you think about how these two scriptures connect, there's this idea that Paul keeps reiterating about the power of God and that he's above all powers, all authorities. And so it's a subtle way of saying, you know, this goddess that they say is a goddess, Artemis, is not really God. In fact, you know the one true God, and he prays for the people. There are some promises in these scriptures. One is that he fills everything everywhere with his presence. That's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23. The fullness of him who fills all in all. And if you look back at verse 22, another promise, he puts all things under his feet and gave him the head of the church. So Paul is clarifying once again, Jesus is Lord. And he wants us and the Ephesians to understand the incredible greatness of Jesus' power for those who believe. And then at the end of his letter to the Ephesians, he reminds them how they can stand firm in the faith. And he gives them imagery of armor. Which piece of armor stuck out to you today? For me, it was the sword, which is the Word of God. The reason we are searching the Scriptures is because we want to have the sword of the Spirit, God's Word in our hearts, helping us, transforming us, and guiding us. Okay, there's so much more we could say about that, but it's Thankful Tuesday, so let's transition into a period of thankfulness. The Ephesians passage leads us into thankfulness. So I just want to pray some of the language that Paul prayed for the Ephesians, as I'm thankful for you and as you are thankful for the people, the places, the things, and the attributes of God. Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you and we give thanks to you, remembering in our prayers all those who have gone before us and who are around us that bolster our faith. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for God the Father, and we thank you for the Spirit of wisdom. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Lord, would you enlighten our eyes to all that you have given us? We thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, the riches, the glorious inheritance that you have provided us. We thank you, Lord, for the power of Jesus that belongs to those who believe. We thank you, Lord, that you have put belief in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the resurrection, the power that has raised Christ Jesus from the dead. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father, and he is far above any rule or power that is on earth. And we thank you, Lord, that we can rest in the assurance that you have put all things under Jesus' feet. And in the end, he will envelop us in his love. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. We thank you for the opportunity to listen to your word together. And I ask, Lord, even now that whatever piece of armor that stuck out to my brothers and sisters, that they would meditate on that piece of armor and that you would help them to don it today. We thank you for your word once more. We love you, Lord, and we pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.